Welcome to everybody to The World is Best. I just want to steampunk it. This is episode 94, August 24th, 2023. I'm your host, Steampunk Stories, and I'm here in North Hollywood, California, USA. And I'm here with my co-host, Daniel Bertison. He is in Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. How's it going, Daniel?
Hi, I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing pretty good. I got my Whataburger t-shirt from Good.
Oh, that's a really cool t-shirt. Yeah.
I got my Whataburger t-shirt that I bought at a thrift store. And it was one of my favorite hamburger joints back in Pensacola, Florida. We don't have any Whataburgers in LA. This is a Whataburger work t-shirt. So let me mimic. Hi, welcome to Whataburger. How can I kiss your ass today, sir? Sir. I am paid to properly kiss your ass. I am paid to be a proper servant for only $7 an hour. Sir, I must kiss your ass. Anyway, welcome to Whataburger. Anyway, that's kind of why I bought the shirt, is a joke. But yeah, I think their burgers are pretty good. They're pretty reasonably priced. They're another competitor, but they're, for some reason, Whataburger, they don't have any Whataburgers in LA. They do have one, I think, in Phoenix, Arizona. The majority of Whataburgers are in the Southeast. It's like a Southern thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it'd be goofy to buy a Whataburger work shirt at the thrift store.
Yeah, awesome.
But anyway, so you sent me a link about Trump. Trump's about to get arrested again for the 14th millionth time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a, but he'll get out. He's got lots of money. He'll get out. People with money can break the law all the time.
Well,
and
I
get
don't
out.
know. I mean, he's jeopardized the peace and security of the entire country. So he's made some very powerful political enemies, and he did violate the law, and he created a really nasty new precedent. He's the first president not to respect the peaceful transfer of power. He wouldn't concede. He lied about the election being stolen, and he instigated a mob to try to interfere with the Electoral College counting of the vote, which it was an attempted coup. Let's not mince words or try to sugarcoat it. So this is not for the sake of just politics. It's also for the sake of law and order and peace and stability. The only thing I'm worried about is it's going to 2024 could turn into a total shit show. If Trump gets arrested and convicted, maybe he'll be disqualified for running for office again, because they do have, I can't remember. I think it might be the amendment. Was it the? Hold on, I'm going to look it up. I can't remember if it was the 14th Amendment. Yeah, it was the 14th Amendment. This was an amendment added to the Constitution in the aftermath of the Civil War. It says that as an officer of the United States can hold office if they are, it says no person who has taken the oath as an officer of the United States can hold office if they have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. And so a lot of legal experts are saying that Trump is technically disqualified from running from office because he engaged in insurrection. So, but in order for him to be disqualified from office, he's got to have been convicted of something. So he's got 91 counts. The Georgia case is just the latest case. I know he's got some cases in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. He's also got some cases pending in New York State. So we will see. What's this link that you just sent me?
I don't know. Some chief was killed in Wagner.
What does that have to do with Trump?
Nothing. I just wanted to send it to you.
Oh, yeah, that's another news article we can talk about. But yeah, so I'm thinking what they're trying to do is going to try to make something stick against Trump, and Trump may never spend a day in prison because he's been treated with kid gloves. Trump has. Like, he has been arraigned, he's been arrested, I think 3 times before, and he's been allowed to make bond and not spend time in a jail cell while he's awaiting trial. So we shall see. Now, he's violated the conditions of his bond and his release, considering that he's attacked and he's tried to engage in witness interference for his social media company, Truth Social. But I'm thinking that if they can just convict him of one count of election interference or one count of colluding with foreign governments as far as sharing classified documents, I'm assuming he, because he's got charges against, yeah, he's got charges against him in Florida, Georgia, New York State, and the District of Columbia. So something's going to stick. He's going to get convicted of something. So maybe this will prevent Trump from being able to run for office, from being able to hold office, and maybe he'll to avoid prison time, he'll have to agree that to admit that the election wasn't stolen and agree to never running for office again. We will see. You know, because Trump is all about his ego, his vanity himself. So Trump, you know, might agree to such a deal if it avoids him prison time. But Trump is very, very dangerous because he controls a political base of about 30 million people, because about 70% of the Republican Party still supports him. And so I'm worried that this could create more political problems going forward. You're going to have people who are, if he gets convicted and sent to prison, people will riot. If he gets convicted and he's not allowed to hold office, he could run off his mouth and instigate more mob violence against people. And this could very well lead to the start of a civil war in the United States, which would not be good. And the other thing I'm worried about, if he doesn't get convicted of anything, or if he's convicted and he's still allowed to run for office, if he wins the Republican nomination and then it's just another shit show part two rematch of Biden versus Trump, if Trump loses in the general election, he's going to claim that the election was stolen from him again. If he wins, then it's still going to be the end of our democracy as we know it here in the United States. So, what do you have to say about all that? I'll move on to the Wagner
Well,
chief. We can talk about the Wagner chief.
I don't know. Listen, I remember when you told me about his like the Trump insurrection and how two police officers died. Let me just say, I'm not shedding any tears for those police officers.
Well, let's not get into your personal grievance against
Well,
police
yeah,
officers as
I
a
know,
whole.
but
It
I
was
know.
still wrong. Okay. The Capitol Police were providing security for Congress to protect them from outsiders interfering with the election. Okay. So, yeah, in that case, the Capitol Police did something very noble, which they defended Congress and they prevented Congress from getting killed, from, you know, from being assaulted, and they were eventually able to reconvene Congress and hold the vote. So your personal grievance against your situation has nothing to do with that, okay? So
Okay.
let's not get into that.
No, I wasn't going to get into that. I was just
That
going to
I'm just
say,
saying
yeah.
that there were people politically on both sides who died on January 6th. So this was not, this was an attempted coup, and it was not bloodless, and people died because of Trump.
Yeah.
We don't need to be mincing words or sugarcoating it, or I don't want to get off topic. I don't want to focus on what we're talking about. Trump, January 6th, the fact that he's been brought up on 91 charges. We're not talking about your personal interactions with police. I
No, I
agree.
know. I
Most
know.
Most cops can be pricks because they're trained to be pricks. Okay, but that's beside the point. That's not the point I'm trying to make. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, I
understand
was
where
just
I'm
saying,
coming from? Do you
yeah.
understand where? Because in
Yeah.
order for you to be able to empathize, you have to understand where somebody else is coming from, even if you don't fully agree with me. It's okay if you don't fully agree with me, but I don't want to veer this off topic into something about hating police.
No, no, no.
I don't hate any. Do you think it was right that Capitol Police got bludgeoned to death by Trump supporters? Do you think that was right?
No, I'm just saying I'm not shedding any tears for those
Okay,
people.
that's
That's all.
fine, but still, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Trump is a fascist. They need to convict him of something under the rule of law. He is a direct threat to democracy in the United States. And I don't know what's going to happen with the political shit show 2024. I know last night they had the GOP debates. Did you see anything about the GOP debates?
Oh, what is it? What was it about?
Well, Trump didn't show up because Trump doesn't really have to because he's polling at like 50%. But it was, you had Chris Christie, what was it, Vedics, that Indian dude, the skinny Indian dude that's running for office in the Republican Party. Chris Christie said that his speech sounded like ChatGPT, and that was pretty funny. I mean, it was just another horror crap show. They mostly focused on the border, wanting to go to war with Mexico. I'm not kidding. Literally, you had three Republican candidates talking about how they want to go to war with Mexico and send troops to Mexico because of drug cartels in Mexico. That's a law and order thing. Maybe we should better fund the Mexican government to help them. Cartel, or, help them enforce rule of law when it comes to Mexican drug cartels. But yeah, so
Oh, look at
GOT
this.
debates, kind of amusing. I like the moment where Chris Christie, what is this? God, I'm really bad with names. Indian Republican candidate. Vedic. Man, that sounds like a Star Trek name.
Yeah, Vedic. It's like a priest for like the
I
Bajorans.
am Sub-Commander Vedic. Well, anyway, so I'm gonna jokingly refer to him as Sub Commander Vedic, but Vedic Ron Swami, Vedic Ron Swami. Everybody's just referred to him as Vedic for short. But yeah, he Chris Christie really hammered him, saying he goes, he's just repeating talking points. He sounds like ChatGPT, and so. Yeah, it was a shit show. It didn't, it made me realize that the Republican Party is kind of weak right now. Their top candidate is not even there to debate, and their top candidate, if he's convicted of something, may not even be able to run for office. And I doubt any of the Republican candidates right now, they have so much political baggage. I doubt that any of them, and they don't really talk about solutions. They're just talking about things that they're against. And so I don't think that I don't know what's going to happen. If my gut feeling is Trump is going to get convicted of something and he's not going to be allowed to run for office in 2024. And so if that happens, then who will be the Republican nominee? Maybe Ron DeSantis, maybe Chris Christie. Who knows at this point? It's too many variables to predict. But anyway, moving on. See, you sent me a link about the Wagner chief that got killed. A lot of people were saying that this is an assassination cover-up. Prigozhin. Forgive me if I'm butchering that name, but Wagner chief Prigozhin, I always thought that the whole story with him was been really odd. Because he had like several divisions under his command with the Wagner Group, and he got halfway to Moscow before he was stopped, and apparently negotiated a deal for him to go to Minsk, which is the capital of Belarus. So he supposedly was spending all of his time in Belarus with the Wagner Group there, and negotiated a retirement, which sounded too good to be true. I mean, he did an attempted coup against Putin. And so some people are suspecting that this reported plane crash, where they said Prigozhin was on the plane with 10 or people, and may have been, and then witnesses said that they heard an explosion. So maybe there was a bomb on the aircraft. But yeah, he was flying between St. Petersburg and Moscow, and the plane apparently exploded and crashed. And, so I wouldn't be surprised. I know Russian state television, Russia Today, was reported that it was an accident, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was an assassination, because he was a direct political threat to Putin. So we will see what this means for the future of the Wagner Group. What I understand, the Wagner Group, the plan is to dissolve the Wagner Group and incorporate them into the Russian army, because they were basically a mercenary army. But anyway, what's your opinion on that story, Daniel?
Yeah, it's I really don't have any opinion on it actually.
You don't? Why did you bring it up?
Oh, well, I just wanted to show you, I wanted to ask you what is that about,
Well, are you familiar with the Wagner Group, right?
No, actually, no, I'm not.
They're a Russian mercenary corporation. They're kind of like Blackwater in the United States. They were like the Russian version of Blackwater. They're basically a private corporation, for profit. They hire a lot of military veterans, and they deploy troops. They have troops in Africa. And they've deployed mercenary forces all around the world, and they're closely aligned with the Russian government. Now, Prigozhin had been angry because he had been suffering heavy casualties, and he claimed that the Russian military was not properly resupplying him with ammunition. And he did a whole video next to a pile of dead bodies saying this was the cost of, Putin not. The Russian government not properly supplying the Wagner Group. And then all of a sudden, the Wagner Group left Eastern Ukraine and started going north, marching north towards Moscow. And they got about halfway there before they were stopped. And a deal apparently was negotiated with the president of Belarus. And he went to Belarus, or he went to Minsk, which is the capital of Belarus. And supposedly was going to retire. But then there was other reports that the Wagner Group, was acting as like a buffer state to prevent NATO powers or Ukraine from invading Belarusia, or yeah, Belarus. Anyway, I used to sometimes say Belarusia, but it's
Whoa.
pronounced Belarus. But anyway, and then some people worry that the Wagner Group might attempt another attack on Kiev from Belarus, because Belarus is just to the north of Kiev. But and then apparently maybe he wasn't retired, and then he was making a trip back, and then like I said, witnesses said that they heard an explosion, so there may have been a bomb planted on the plane that took him out. Who knows? But he's out of it, and Putin has reconsolidated power. But since you okay, so you have nothing to say on that, we can move on
Well,
to.
no, it says here, like, presumably killed Wagner leader.
Yeah, there's been
Yep.
mixed reports, but Russian state television has already said that he's dead.
Oh. So they killed him, huh? Yikes.
Maybe. I mean, sticking to critical thinking and the scientific method, I don't have proof that they killed him, but it definitely looks suspicious. Okay. Always remember that scientific
Yeah.
method, critical thinking can apply to even news stories. Do I
Yeah.
have concrete proof that Prigozhin was assassinated by Putin? No, I do not. Do I think that maybe he might have been? Yeah, I think he might have been. Do I think there's evidence that he might have been? I think there is some evidence, but there's not conclusive evidence as of yet. So,
Yeah.
presumably, killed in an airplane crash. Maybe it was an assassination attempt, but we have no evidence to know for sure. Any other response to that before we move on to the next topic?
No, actually no.
Okay, let
All I
me
can
go.
say is, watch your back when it comes to Russians, because they can be very sneaky and duplicitous.
Well, yeah, Putin is a former KGB chief. He's a former KGB colonel, so there you go. I'm going to try to find the Ukraine war map on Al Jazeera. Okay. Share screen. All right. Do you see that?
Let's see.
You see it? You see my mouse cursor?
Oh, yeah, I can see it now.
You see my mouse cursor? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, this is August 23rd. So this battle map hasn't been updated since yesterday, but it's from yesterday. It's relatively recent. Day 546, 9 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. The red positions are Russian frontline positions. The white are Ukrainian controlled territory and frontline positions. And the yellow is the Donbas region. And Russia only controls about half of the Donbas region, and they control about a fifth of eastern Ukraine. Now, there have been reports that Ukrainian forces have tried an attempt or in I guess sent special forces to Crimea, but I don't see this reflected on the battle map. And then there's been reports that there have been heavy fighting in this area where they took a couple of towns. You see these little circles here. Do you see the little circles?
Yeah.
These are areas of significant fighting in the last 24 hours.
Wow.
So the Ukrainian counteroffensive has been going on since June, and the front lines don't really appear that much different. You still have a rugged defense line along the Dnieper River. The front lines, for the most part, haven't changed that much since November of last year when Russian forces pulled out of Crimea. You can see here they're still fighting around Bakhmut. There's pretty much a stalemate for the last 6 months that has been going on around Bakhmut. And then there's another town here, Avdiivka. Yeah, I think this is the area where they said that they captured a couple of towns. And as you can see here, you got the Dnieper River, the east bank of the Dnieper River. Russian forces have fortified, added landmines and fortifications, and the line hasn't really changed that much. So, do you have any questions in regards to that?
Wow, man, it sounds like they're fighting really hard over there.
Well, they are, and I, like I said, I saw I don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a Russian or I saw a news report about Ukraine, and they were interviewing some Ukrainian soldiers, and they were interviewing some medics. I think they were members of the fire department. And these medics were helping civilians, and they were driving a vehicle. They were driving a van, like that was all beat up, and the tires were bald. But apparently, they have a tire shortage. And so they're having to drive on bald tires because they just don't have any way to source new tires. And I was like, well, if the Ukrainian military is having that many logistics problems with just basic supplies like that, I'm not surprised that the front lines haven't changed that much. So I don't know what's going on with supplies and logistics, but I know that they also have a manpower shortage because most of their frontline units have been engaged for over a year, which means that they're tired. And, if you're going to conduct a proper offensive, you need to do it with fresh troops, troops that are easily maneuverable and are not locked down in defensive positions. So I don't understand. What they need to do is they need to launch an attack through here, retake Mariupol. You retake Mariupol, you greatly weaken Russia's defensive positions in Crimea. And you can also split Russian forces into two. So if I were the Ukrainian commander of all Ukrainian forces, I would mass forces from here. Maybe withdraw forces from Kherson, since Russia seems like they're not really that interested in Kherson anyway. And then reconsolidate forces for an offensive to retake Mariupol. They could retake Mariupol. That would be a big political victory, and that will make Russia look really bad, and that'll greatly weaken Russian forces. That's what I would do, because Russia is pretty static right now. They've defaulted to static defenses, so the front lines kind of resemble World War One. And anyway, so any other response to that?
No.
Well, I don't know. Any other topics on your mind? I guess that's it.
Oh, you know what? Trump supporters are coming to the courthouse where
Okay,
Trump
yeah,
is.
well, that's they always do. That they the last three times he got arrested, they came to the courthouse.
Oh, do you think, okay, in 2024, if Trump doesn't get elected, do you think there's going to be another riot?
I hope not, but that's a distinct possibility. But that's definitely a distinct possibility. But I guess that's it then. All right. Well, thanks for joining me. I've been your host, Steampunk Starraiser. This is The World is a Mess. I just want to steampunk it. Episode 94, August 24th, 2023. And I'm here with your co-host, Daniel Bertison, who is in Bellwood, Ontario, Canada. You have a nice day. And I will see you 25 billion years. I will.